This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to After Lunch, the podcast in which I take fascinating people out for a slap-up lunch. And all they have to do is be witty and sparkling and tell me all their secrets. Today, my guest is simply one of Britain's most prolific comic writer actors. From The League of Gentlemen, through Psychoville, to Inside Number 9, this man has been a major cultural force for the last 30 years. He is, of course, one of the four. Which one is he? Oh, yes, he's Rhys Shearsmith. I'm in a restaurant in London, sort of between the Old Vic and the Riverbank, called Toklas. It's named after Alice B. Toklas, who was famous for her recipe for hashish fudge and for her relationship with Gertrude Stein. The architecture is called brutalist, but I've been assured the food is quite the opposite. Let's find out. Rhys.
Hello.
How are you?
How lovely.
How marvellous to see you.
I know, this is fantastic.
Isn't it marvellous? Did you get in all right?
Having me, I was fine, yeah.
Have you been here before?
Never. No.
It's rather marvellous.
It's fantastic,
place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Should we order a drink first and then look at the menu?
Yes, let's do that. This is outrageous, really, to drink in the day.
Well, that's what out to lunch means to me.
Right, okay.
What does out to lunch mean to you?
Well, I never go anywhere, to be honest, Adrian. So
do you not?
No, I'm very monastic and quite...
Well, you look very trim.
Well, thank you.
Is that because you live in a sort of ascetic life?
Well, yeah, should I? Because it's very sedentary.
Yeah.
Don't do anything.
Yeah.
But out to lunch, yes. It's often the meals pass you by because you're talking about a project or work or something. So you have to sort of go, no, this is about the food. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
This will be particularly nice because
we
should try.
What kind of wine would you like to drink?
Well,
I've had a little chat with Daniel, who's going to be serving us today, and I've got a sort of choice of a light red or three different kinds of white. You can have a sort of full-bodied one or a bone-dry one or a floral one.
Right. Would I instantly make a mistake if I order the red and then we're going to have some sort of fish and I've reverse-engineered the wrong
I don't think
choice.
So, because it's a very light one.
Let's have that then.
And I did read an article yesterday that you are allowed to have red
it's
wine
It's not
with
a
fish.
Mistake.
It's not a mistake.
Fine.
It doesn't make any difference.
Can
we have the bottle of the red?
Petit Gabby.
Petit Gabby, yeah.
We'll try that,
Petit
thank
Gabby.
You.
Let's have a quick look at the menu.
Okay.
Now, they've got a bakery downstairs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is apparently quite famous, so we have to have a bit of the sourdough.
Yep.
The starters, it's a sort of Mediterranean feel.
Right.
And I think it's a bit small platey.
Ah, right.
The starter.
So, okay.
So we should order three of those, I
okay,
think.
Very good.
What do you fancy out of those?
I quite like the sound of the sea bass.
Yes. Let's have the sea bass and the pork and the zucchini.
Perfect.
Yeah, great. Fabulous, and, thank you.
And mains. It's a nice... I like a short menu.
Yeah. Well, you're not overwhelmed with choice, are you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you think, well, at least they're taking care of these dishes. There's a whole John Dory there.
Yeah.
For two people. Hereford beef with Vesuvius tomato, Dover sole, trout. Never liked trout.
No. Too fishy.
No, it is. Yeah,
too fishy.
Too muddy somehow. Is
yeah,
it muddy?
It feels
bony.
A bit, yeah, well, I'm terrified of bones.
Yeah.
Me and the remembrances of the Queen Mum.
Yeah.
Continually choking on bones.
There's a Sicilian aubergine there.
Sounds
and
good.
And a fresh linguine.
I quite like the idea of the linguine.
Yeah. I might go for the aubergine.
Yes.
This is Daniel. This is Rhys.
Hi, Daniel. Nice to meet you.
We'd like to order, please.
Great.
Rhys, for a main, is going to have...
the linguine. Thank
and
you.
And I'm going to have the aubergine.
And the Overzine.
But we have to order a side order of chips because they're very famous for their
chips.
Oh,
good, great then.
So that's
any
marvelous.
Excuse.
Thank you very much.
Perfect.
When did you first go out to lunch? I mean, as a sort of...
As an adult, or yeah. anybody.
So yeah. that feeling of having enough time, success or money to...
Yeah. It's indulgent.
To feel that you can indulge yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
When do you think that was first apparent to you?
20s, when I was thinking I've slightly got enough money to do exactly yeah. that, feel slightly like
but
this
you
is
started,
a treat.
Started on the radio by
I'd
then?
Done a bit of... Well, actually, no, we hadn't really. It was around the gestation of the live shows when we were yeah. at the Canal Café doing...
The League of Gentlemen came straight out of Bretton Hall
yeah,
where
well,
you were studying in... Into straight out into
not straight out. No, we did some live. We worked together at college at Bretton yeah. Hall, which wasn't really a drama school. It was a degree. I thought.
Yeah. I've got a degree in drama.
If I fail it, but I've always said it's like having a degree washing up.
Yeah.
It's not a real thing. Anyway,
it's a degree in name dropping. I think.
Well, eventually, if you get yeah. do anything any good with it, yeah. yeah.
What was the training at Bretton Hall? What happened there?
The first day of Bretton Hall. This will give you an example. It was ran by a man called John Hodgson. Couldn't understand a word he said. So posh you couldn't understand him, one of those. He brought out a broken violin, placed it on the floor with a group of drama students.
I like this. This sounds great already, yeah.
This is your buddy. He pointed the broken violin.
This is your buddy.
It's like, this is your buddy at the moment. 3 years' time, be Stradivarius. So he said it'd be a Stradivarius in 3 years. And their training would do that. The three things you really learn. Diction. Articulation. And clarity of speech.
What?
Clarity of speech. Diction, articulation, clarity of speech. And that was day one of Bretton Hall. So it was a degree course, but for 2 years it was like a drama school. But what was good about Bretton was that we were left to our own devices. We sort of had so much time, really.
Were you writing stuff and making
yeah.
it
there? And Steve and Mark were in the year above me, and they were already fabled for doing their own plays at the National Student Drama Festival. And yes, and then it was Bretton Hall, and then we left and went our separate ways for about 4 or 5 years.
Did you?
Yeah, it wasn't immediate. I think it was good because we tried separately to do things and all... slightly failed. Steve and Mark were doing better than me. I think I was sort of in the doldrum, quite literally on the dole.
Yeah.
And they were doing shows on the fringe, and they got back in contact with me. And I thought, oh, they're going to ask me to be in their play. And it was, will you do the poster? Because I was a quite good artist.
You're a graphic artist.
Yeah, I was at that point, yeah, doing some art. So I thought, the wine has arrived. Nice.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Looking quite dark for a light wine.
Yes. Thank you.
It's from the Southern Rhone, but so you get some of that savoury character, but it is a lot lighter than your usual Southern Rhone.
Cheers. And so we gathered together our resources of our collective sort of dark comedy and began writing sketches that became...
The
League of Gentlemen. Yeah. The first Edinburgh show was a best of sketches, really.
Yeah.
And then we just went from there to... Radio 4 and then the TV for 10 years.
And so it's never really stopped, has it?
That's the thing I pinch myself about, yeah. Because you know, the early days we thought there was never a master plan, but to do it and then get a television series with your sensibility and your humour and we've written it, you never think of it and what's after that. That will have to stop one day and then what do you do?
I've always thought my entire career is an accident. I mean, I even being known as, in inverted commas, a comedian. Do you think you're a comedian?
No, not in the slightest. I mean, I've always had.
What would you say in your passport if you still had to put a profession?
Doctor. Well, weirdly, because I am a double doctorate, I'm sure you've got one. You've been dragged back.
I got one. Yeah, I decided not to get another one because you have to make a speech and wear a stupid
hat. Some sort of inspirational
it's
speech.
It's basically a way of getting you to do a routine for nothing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They so I've got two, but I even changed my. I mean, you don't use checkbooks anymore, but I do have Dr. Shearsmith on it.
Yeah.
But it's you know, that's going to backfire when I'm on a plane and there's a doctor in. Yeah. Someone's having a heart attack. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would put actor. Actor-writer, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's some bread.
Oh, wow.
Bread.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I think I'll be regarded as a sketch show actor for the rest of my life and not regarded as a proper, whatever that means, a proper actor. But I've done things that are proper in that way, and I've been pleased with them. But, yeah, it's never enough. It's a leak.
I loved you in The Dresser. I saw The Dresser.
Oh, good, thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed doing that.
I mean, such a great piece.
Yeah.
But you were mesmerising in it. It was a very good production. I'd seen it years before.
Yeah.
But it was cracking.
A great play and a great arc. And I tried to make it tragic. You know, it's horrible what happens to Norman and that life wasted on him, this other man.
On Sir.
Yeah, on Sir.
Now, you and I have actually had lunch before.
What?
Yeah. A sort of lunch.
We can't have. I'd remember.
Yeah. It was, we were on the same table at the, I think it was the GQ Awards in the late 90s.
Oh, my God.
Quite a large table. And I remember being a pompous idiot. Which is probably why you're trying to
I'm in the middle of my drink and I'm really bursting out laughing. Really?
We had a situation when we started The Young Ones where Bill Oddie suddenly appeared in the room.
Right.
And
I'm laughing already.
He was so cross and sad about what had happened to the goodies.
Right.
And he kind of sat us down and gave us some heartfelt advice. And it was just about bitterness, really, because they hadn't been recommissioned.
Right.
And I thought, what a twat, what a pompous oaf. And then I remember doing exactly the same to you.
No.
In the late 90s, we'd not been recommissioned for the fourth series of Bottom.
Right.
And we all happened to be on the same table, and you were quite new then. You just done the first series of...
The first series of League was 98.
Yeah.
Or 99.
Well, you were probably getting an award for that, weren't you, or something?
And, I don't know.
I remember telling you...
Yeah, well,
giving you
it's all very
the
well.
Same speech Bill Oddie had given me. Which is probably why you tried to forget
it. Put a big beard on. No, that's funny, because I often remember, and... I'm sort of elephant-like in my encounters with people that have been not nice to me.
Hmm.
So
I was not nice. Yeah, I think I was just,
Yeah, you had advice.
I thought, they're young people.
There they are, yeah.
they need me.
Well, I'm genuinely surprised that I don't remember
the event
that
was taken over by Johnny Rotten.
Oh, right. No, I remember that now, yes.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
I don't know what he did, but he was being vociferous and shouty. I think, did he have to get dragged away?
I think probably dragged them away. I remember we, as the league, did an interview with the goodies on stage when they brought a book out.
Mm.
And I was thinking it was going to be one of my anecdotes about meals, because we then were taken afterward by the people that had organised the event to the Garfunkels in Leicester Square. So it was the League of Gentlemen and the goodies.
Garfunkels.
In a Garfunkels.
That's an album I want to listen to.
I remember Graham Garner saying, it's like being on a cross-channel ferry. It was really poor.
He's still very funny, Graham.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, really funny. They were nice. Seemed quite nice.
Yeah.
They didn't look like they were particularly still massive friends.
Did they not?
No. No. I don't know whether there was a slight... weariness and eye rolling around Bill, which I can understand a little bit.
It's a pressurised thing, isn't it?
Working of course it of is, people. Absolutely, yeah. And it's people often asked us about the league when we were in the thick of it. Do you have rows?
Yeah. Are
you? And we never didn't. We did because we were fine. It was successful. I think had it not been and we were struggling, we might have been more at each other's throats. But because it was all right, and we never really... parted ways because we were sick of each other. It was like, we've done it. We've done sort of every incarnation of it.
Yeah.
Let's have a break. And it was sort of a break that's lasted for the last 15 years. But we I think we would very happily do something if
but
we thought
of it. You
and
Steve Pemberton became a double act.
We've
really,
just carried
you
on,
are
yeah.
a double act, really.
Yes, I guess so now. I mean, it's odd that.
Well, you are, because you made so many.
I know, yeah. The number nine is
two series of Psychoville and eight series of number nine. I mean,
It's mad, yeah, to think that
one. That's a lot of writing.
It's a lot of sitting in the same room with a person, yeah.
Mm.
And
how does that go? I'm fascinated by writing
number
techniques.
Number nine, the writing technique, yes. I've never enjoyed it. It's like homework to me.
Do you not?
No.
Oh, it's always my favourite bit.
Really, yeah. Well, Steve's the same. He loves it. It's where the creation is, of course,
yeah.
The sitting.
It's where you hear the jokes the first time.
Yeah, I know. I'll do it because I would never be given these parts by anybody. So I will write myself these good parts.
What's the best part you've written yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I think of all the number nines, probably the one I enjoyed was, well, there's a couple of and they're just my obsessions really, which is the Witchfinder episode mm-hmm. that we did. That was a period, which was great to do. And I was sort of doing a Vincent Price horrible Witchfinder man. And then the other one was this magician I played who was a sort of the baddie in a Columbo. I love the mechanics of a Columbo where you know who the murderer is and then you see him unravel them. Yeah. And so that we did an episode that was sort of our Columbo and I was the murderer.
Hello.
Hello. To interrupt. I've got the pork tonnato.
Fabulous. Thank you. This looks great.
Sea bass crudo.
Very nice.
And then the grilled zucchini with romesco.
Marvellous.
Thank you.
I need to make it a little bit of room. So
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, our double act always had a kind of... We had a heyday. And then I got bored.
That's hard, isn't
it? It's tiring.
When we did our... Because the league, of course, will never escape it. We finished it and then we did this 2017 or 18. Now it was 20. We thought it was about 20 years since the Edinburgh show. So we did a little tour, returned to the stage, which was great. And I thought we'd get a few little venues, maybe one theatre. And it was arenas. It was massive. And we did the O2. Yeah. And weirdly, despite the fact that that's sort of quite prestigious and odd, it was the worst of the shows because it's like doing a show to a small city. You can't get any sense of the normal feedback of an audience. You know, you do a line, you wait for the laugh, comes back, you then the timing was all off.
Yeah.
It was sort of by muscle memory that you had to do it, and I really didn't enjoy it, but it was very moving to see how much people still loved the characters.
Yeah.
I was surprised that people had sort of stayed.
What year was that? When
2018.
Did you do that?
This is lovely.
It's delicious.
Yes.
I've forgotten what this one is. This is the zucchini. This is the zucchini. The kind of nutty almond.
That's very nice.
This is romesco. You ever been to Spain?
It's really nice. No, I haven't.
Had tapas. That looks very like one of the sort of dishes they have on tapas, sort of pork with a whiskey sauce.
Steve was always telling me to go to Spain, of course, because he did years of it in Benidorm. He loves it.
Yeah. I think number nine is...
I think number nine is better than League in the maturity of the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's consistent.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because that's the thing, isn't it, when you start to think,
And it's such a bigger body of work.
I know, of course, and we've done it longer now.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, nearly. As 10 years, League was about 10 years, and this is... next year will be 10 years of number nine. Next year, 2024, it will be... 25 years since the league, 15 since Cycle Hill, and 10 since number nine.
Yeah.
So, to think that we're still in the game and doing things that I think still have an impact when they're on. Because that's it, isn't it? Telly is so ephemeral. It's tomorrow's chip paper, you know, and you do anything that makes any mark. And that's quite something, I think, because nothing does.
Yeah.
It is disposable, and if you can do anything that has sort of resonance or... Certainly, if you've done something and you've laid out your wares and you're trying to do it again, that's the hard part, isn't it? Because everyone knows your tricks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's delicious. Really nice. Thank you, yeah.
Hello, it's Ollie here. I'm the executive producer on Out to Lunch. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, one of the relationships I'm proudest of in my life is with my daughters. They're not quite the age to go for fancy lunches with celebs yet, but we do enjoy our family dinners together in relative harmony. You know, give us time, that they are still quite young. But this takes work, and it's a mistake to think that relationships have to be easy to be right. The best relationships come out of learning to live with each other and keeping our sense of humour, even when food is spilt all over the table or dinner's not to everyone's liking. It can be really tricky, but therapy can help you with those skills. You can work through parenting challenges, explore seeing eye to eye as a couple, and work through your relationship with yourself too. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's flexible, and you can switch therapists at any time, as that's a relationship that needs to be the right fit too. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit betterhelp.com/outtolunch today and get 10% off your first month.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Dearest Lunchers, just to let you know that after you've finished listening to this, there's more. Yes, more. Join me over on The Digestivo, where you can hear your favourite guests tell us their top five restaurants in the world. Yes, that's in the world. That's potentially 60 restaurant recommendations from our special guests. And let me tell you, they know a thing or two about dining out. The Digestivo is also the place where we squeeze in some of the juicy extras that we didn't have room for in our regular episodes. For just £2.99 a month, you can get all that and every episode completely ad-free. Way less than the price of an actual Digestivo. This is the sort of thing you could be missing.
Because I got and became quite good friends with John Landis after doing Burke and Hare with him, as we've talked about with Ronnie, he invited me to a lunch with Christopher Lee.
Wow!
Amazing. But then, the horror of horrors, John rang me on the day of meeting Sir Christopher.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be late. So just go in, say it to Chris, that go up to Chris, tell him that you're having a meal with me. I was like, oh, God, you're kidding me. I've got to go wandering up to Christopher.
Do an audition.
Sir Christopher Lee. Hiya. You're having a meal with me today, yeah. John Landis.
It was you don't know me.
Exactly.
Start your free trial of the Digestivo now by clicking Try Free at the top of the Out to Lunch show page on Apple Podcasts. We'd also love to hear from you about your food experiences, from the most heavenly to the most excruciating. Just email lunch@sonymusic.com. Right then, back to the chat.
This is the time to play the name game.
What is it?
I'll give you some names of characters you've played, not ones you've written.
Right.
Just ones you've played.
Oh, interesting.
And you have to tell me what they're in.
Oh, God. Is that... not many.
About these are TV things.
Right.
Philip Arthurs.
Philip Arthurs?
Philip Arthurs.
Wait a minute.
That was his name.
Is it the private that I played in Alexis Sales' Merry-Go-Round?
It certainly is.
Is it really?
It is. And that was pretty early. That was before?
Yeah, before.
I've got the Sicilian aubergine.
Thank you.
Tomatoes, yellow beans, basil and almonds. And
very Mediterranean.
Pesto linguine with
Thank
green
you
beans.
So much. Yeah. Brilliant.
Enjoy.
The famous chips.
Oh, wow. They look good. Yeah, thank you so much. Great. Fabulous.
Oh, that was just a good chip.
Are they good chips? They look good.
Oh.
They look triple fried.
I judge a restaurant on its chips.
Mm. Oh, yeah. They are good.
What was that like, working with Alexi? Did he treat
you good? He was all right. I didn't have... My sketch wasn't with him, but he was there, and I met him.
Yeah.
And he was nice, yeah. But the other person that I was in awe of when I worked with her was Victoria Wood.
She's on my next list.
Yeah.
She's on the list. Because that's Harry Wiseman, isn't it?
Harry Wiseman.
Eric's dad.
Eric's dad, yes, I did.
Yeah. I remember when, just before she died,
yeah,
there was a really intriguing bit in the papers about her saying she'd worked out how to arrange any sentence to make it funny.
Really?
And I really wanted to sort of break into the hospital.
Yeah.
And kind of
go
ask
on
her to write it down.
What's this formula?
But I don't think she did.
Yeah, no. But I did her mid-life crisis or something. It was a Christmas special, and she wrote a Victoria Wood monologue and asked me to do it, and I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm getting to do an original Victoria Wood monologue. I learnt it very well, because I knew that she was quite ferocious about the lines being exactly so. And I got there on the day and she went, do you want to do it then? And we sort of went outside and she just watched. I just had to do it for her.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying. But I did it. I thought, I've not been directed how to do this, but I just hear your voice.
You're
I think
being judged.
I know. Yeah, I think I know how it should go. And I did it. And she went, yep, good. And that was it. It was sort of like approved in a quiet, you got all the beats sort of way. Yeah, comedy
of all,
heroes.
Of all the people, when I'm sort of flicking through the channels on the telly, if Vic comes on, it's always a watch. She's just hilarious.
Yes, I know. It's great.
There's a weird thing happened in comedy, isn't there? There's a change that's happened since you and I started.
Yeah.
Which was being stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you sticking your nose up with Stella tape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and now it's all a bit smart-ass and people laughing and being clever and laughing at other people rather than making fun of themselves.
That's what's great about Vic and Bob and their humour, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so silly.
Yeah.
Myself, Bob, and Matt Berry and me, we go for these meals where we call it the Gossip Club.
And we saw lunch. Do you go out to
lunch? It's a sort of lunch,
is it?
Yeah.
Well, here you go.
Well, I forgot about it until this very moment.
Yeah.
And we'll sort of talk about other contemporaries and how well they're doing. Yes. Exactly that, yeah.
Oh, hello.
I've bought the
menu. Daniel.
Oh,
wow.
Dessert.
Thank you.
And you are one of the famous sons of...
Well,
I mean, one of the very few.
There aren't many. I mean...
I was looking at one of the websites about...
Maureen Lipman.
I Googled who's famous from Hull.
Yes.
And it's basically you and Maureen Lipman.
Yeah. Norman Collier.
Norman Collier. Oh, didn't say him. They could have had him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who they tried to have was Tolkien.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Because apparently... I mean, he was born in South Africa. But...
That's
he apparently in World War I was incarcerated in a hospital in Hull.
No.
Yeah.
So then you know he's son of Hull.
I've got it written down. It was on a website. And
that's ridiculous.
It was in some kind of...
They can't claim him.
This is on the Hull Live website.
Right.
It said, and without realising it, Tolkien had begun to sketch out the mythological world of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
And
without
realising it.
Yeah.
He looked around in Hull and he started to see...
Have you ever written anything without realising it?
No, I don't think so. I always realise.
Yeah.
That's mad, isn't it?
I'll tell you who else is from Hull. I mean, these are quite good. Mick Ronson.
Right.
I mean, the whole of The Spiders from Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mick Ronson, Trevor Boulder and Woody's from Driffield.
I am patron of Yorkshire.
Patron of Yorkshire?
Yes.
The entire county?
That's right, yes.
Wow.
I don't know what it means.
What,
yeah. What
do you
what
have to do?
Bestows.
Do you get a special coat and a chain?
Get a little badge.
You do.
Not a chain, no. It's not like mayoral. But I'm on a list as being one of the patrons of Yorkshire. I think all I have to do is promote and say positive things.
You have to say it's quite nice.
Yeah, if I've ever asked. So it's nice. It's nice, Yorkshire.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah. So I'm doing that now.
There's a kind of professional Yorkshireman I hate.
Yes.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are.
Well, I'll speak my mind.
I know, that's right, yeah. No, plain speaking.
And you think, oh, please don't.
Oh, bloody hell, I'll tell you what. Yeah, it's like a weary, know everything. I know everything, I'm not even going to bother telling
you. I've never been outside Yorkshire in my life.
Yeah, well, I don't need to go anywhere, mate.
It's all here, isn't it?
Got everything
God's
around me.
Own county.
5 minutes down the road. Yes, it's funny, when we started League and... on the telly, the trailer that the BBC put together for it, we were really annoyed because they really leaned into the northernness of it. It was all brass bands, and we were like, "Oh, don't do that to it."
Wow.
It just felt like it was just that sort of received. Here's, and often we'd get reviewed, and four northern lads have come up with an idea for a show. And it was
are
like,
you all from?
Well,
I mean, you went to Brent Hall,
yeah,
but you're not
northern
all from...
and Lancashire, really? Yorkshire and Lancashire,
really?
Yeah. Because Jeremy was Leeds, Mark is Newton Aycliffe. He's more.
Right. I never realised that. I thought you'd all just sort of...
Yeah, and Steve's Lancashire. He's Chorley.
Yeah.
So, and the town of Royston Vasey really was an amalgam of all our upbringings. All those
I thought Royston Vasey was Chubby Brown's middle name or something.
That's right, it's his name. His actual name, yeah. We thought it'd be funny that would be... He just always sounded like a name to us, yeah. Talk about auditioning.
Yeah.
You do loads of self-tapes and things. I never get a single thing.
I think I've got one job from a self-tape.
Oh.
Did you see that thing, Rain Dogs?
Yes.
My character wanks in it, and the audition, the self-tape, was him wank.
That's just someone who wants that video.
So, I did the tape.
Yeah.
You know. nothing on show, but you have to do the face.
Oh, no.
And I got through one level, and then it had some American backing in it. So I had to do another one.
Oh, God, Adrian. Come on.
But that was the one I got from a self-tape.
Right, was it? Wow.
I think because I was probably the only one prepared to do it.
To go for it, yes.
You know when you get the script sometimes and it's got someone else's name on? Mine had Tim McInerney on it.
Oh, no. It had his name on it?
It had his name on it.
Oh, that's deliberate. Just to rattle you, see how you'll react.
It made me work harder.
I bet. That's terrible. Yeah, I mean, it's very hard, isn't it? And how lovely is it when you get offered a part? I mean, it doesn't happen to me very often, but when it does, it's so lovely even going into the job because you think they wanted me.
It alters the entire creative process.
Absolutely, yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're very big on in number nine because we've had lots of good people that you couldn't get to audition. It's got to be offers, of course. You get to a certain level, you can't.
Well, do you know you can these days?
Can you?
I walked out of an audition the other day and waiting to go in after me for the same part was Simon Russell Beale. So even he's auditioning.
Oh, my God.
Daniel, hang on.
What would you like for dessert?
Could I have the sorbet? I'll have a melon and two raspberries. Thank you so much.
I'll have the trio of the ice creams. Thank you. The caramel, pistachio and cassata.
Great.
And I'm going to have a glass of the sweet wine there, the Sauvignon Dolce. We didn't finish playing the name game.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I like this one. Tourist. IMDb. Reese Shearsmith. Tourist.
Tourist. Oh, I know it. Oh, it's, it was a
something
film.
I hadn't heard of.
No.
I have to say.
Was it?
1999.
Goodness me. Tourist.
No, I have to give you.
No, I can't remember.
This Year's Love.
Yes.
What was that?
That was a film with, I think, Ben Chaplin. Or maybe that was Birthday Girl. I can't remember. But, no. I was...
Early days.
I sat at a bar at Heathrow Airport and had one line.
Helium Harry.
Oh, I know this. That was Randall and Hopkirk.
It was.
Deceased with Jim and Bob.
Jim and Bob. How was that? Was that...
That was good
fun. Must have been delicious. I would have thought for you that would have been...
It was great.
Sort of, I mean, they're not quite... They're just above you, aren't they? Not quite contemporary.
Yeah, no, I was in awe of them. I mean, yeah. I think in that way... I did Catterick with them, and that was my first... I think my first job with them. And I couldn't believe it. I was acting with them, you know. They're so funny.
There's the cassata.
Wow.
The caramel. And the pistachio.
Brilliant.
Fabulous, thank you. Look at that. Let's talk about the fact that you... I mean, you know, I feel slightly intimidated having... sitting here with the person that won MasterChef.
What, beat 15 other celebrities?
I won Bake Off.
Yeah, I won my episode of Bake Off.
Amazing.
Well, yeah.
It was good fun.
Yeah. We're talking about Bake Off.
That's right. Yes, I did...
You did a biscuit portrait of yourself.
A biscuit portrait of myself in a little toy theatre. It was very well done.
Oh, that sounds great.
Because I'm artistic, I thought, well, even if I can't win it, I think I could do things with the... cakes that would look pretty might get me some distance. I inexplicably won it. But it's the pressure.
You got a Hollywood handshake.
I got a Hollywood handshake with
I got one of those. My something called Life of Pi.
Right.
Which was a pie made in the shape of a boat with a tiger on it.
That's really good. Well, I got mine from my pumpkin tray bake.
Pumpkin tray bake?
Yes. So it was,
I'd say that sounds horrible. I never quite understood pumpkin pie.
Oh, really?
No.
Which one of my favourites? It's linked to Halloween. I love Halloween.
Yeah. Where did your love of horror come from? Living in Hull?
Yeah. I think I don't know, actually. A morbid little child, the curtains closed, reading Edgar Allan Poe and Stephen King.
Did your parents have...
No,
that kind
no
of literature in their house.
I was the one that began it, yeah.
The one that soured the household.
Yes. Need it blessed with a priest.
Yeah.
No, I would watch the late night double bill of horror on BBC Two with an old Universal and then a Hammer. And that was great because it was an anthology. It was like each week you get a different story. As a kid, I used to... That really
I didn't
appealed.
Think they were making them for it, were they? Wasn't it just... They were,
no, just on,
it was all found stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
Just repeats of American stuff. That idea now, I think it's coming more into favour as... Increasingly, people have no attention span. The idea of a half hour and you're done and dusted and the story's finished. Great!
But you write a new story every episode.
I know. Well, yeah, we try. And also, we've enjoyed playing with the form of television. I mean, you once did it where you were breaking out of the restraints of television. And that is interesting to us as well. You know, we just did one in the last series that people thought was a game show with Lee Mack.
Oh, yeah.
And it was that. And our ideal was that we wanted Number 9 to have finished 1 week, and next week in the Radio Times, new game show with Lee Mack, and so you didn't even know it was...
Yeah.
The nearest we got to executing it was that they would pull it last minute and we would put this new show on. And that was... It seemed to work. But, the idea of just sort of enjoying the fact that each week can be a different thing. And how do you work? How do you tell a story? You know, our fight over the last 10 years of Number 9 is... Please don't spoil it, you know, it's just with the press, because they want to give everything away.
Yeah.
They literally want to tell you, the audience, everything.
Which is why you've got a perfect gig.
Because
Inside Number 9 has got a following and people understand.
Yeah.
And they don't need to know beforehand what they're going to see, because they know they're going to see something interesting and exciting.
Yeah, hopefully you that's know, the idea, isn't
it's
it?
Gonna,
yeah. And take
it's
you
gonna,
on a journey
gonna, yeah,
where you don't know where you're going
to
go. Yeah. That's the thrill of it, and that's the tyranny of it. Because
well, that's why you shouldn't give
thing.
It up.
I know. Well,
because I've seen you say that you're not going to do any more after Number 9.
I see.
Is that just because it says Number 9?
Yes, it literally is.
Well, don't.
I shall tell Steve.
Reese, we've come to the end of our meal.
I know.
It's been absolutely delicious and an absolute joy to meet you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Really. Thanks very much to Reese Shearsmith for his time. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for Series 9 of Inside Number 9. We ate at Toklas on Surrey Street in London. Find out more at toklaslondon.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your pods for new episodes. Do tell everyone about us so we can make some more. Thank you very much to our production team. The assistant producers are Rani Prescott and Dulcie Wadcock. Social media is Jonathan Imiere. The recording engineer is Shivani Mukwana. And mix engineer is Gulliver Tickle. The producer is Michael Dale. The senior producer is Selina Reen. And executive producer is Ollie Wilson. Out to Lunch is a Sony Music Entertainment production. Thank you so much for listening and see you next time. That was Out to Lunch. We've eaten all the grub that set our lips a-smacking. That was Out to Lunch. We polished off the booze and soiled our napkins. Goodbye.